A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sometimes in life, we encounter people who teach us things we never knew we needed to learn, who offer a perspective that forces us to reevaluate our outlook, and who humble us with their innate wisdom and kindness. Sometimes, though, we also meet people who offer us none of these things. Ladies and gentlemen, Flats and Shanks.
Not to put on airplane mode anymore, mate.
Moved on, have we?
Hello, and welcome to this weekly episode of our podcast.
I do the intros. You did it once, and it was terrible.
Well, I'm doing it now, mate. I'm a techie.
All right.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Flatman.
Hi, Dave.
All right, Tom.
How are you?
All right.
We're here at the Celtic Manor.
Yeah, your second home.
Again, thanks to Dylan Matthews.
Yeah, Dylan, good guy. Shanks, you just send a text, and the hotel becomes your lobster, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's home from home, mate.
This is a bonus podcast, isn't it? We didn't think we were going to do this one.
No, we didn't. We didn't, but there's so much to talk about, isn't there?
Oh, Tommy. There's just so much demand for it. I mean, at least three people have tweeted me.
Yeah, I know. Well, before we get into the Lions result at the weekend, what have you been up to?
No, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been to La Manga.
Oh, yeah.
The Rugby Classics Golf Tournament.
How many former players are there?
I reckon there's probably about 25 went.
Okay. Decent crew. Leonard was there, wasn't he?
Leonard was there for a day, yeah. Turned up late for the bus.
Standard.
Waited 15 minutes for him.
That's the leopard.
No one said a word.
That's the leopard.
No one said a word, apart from my mate Jimmy Rainbird, who didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Leonard gripped him.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That was a good trip, mate. It was a good trip.
We raised, quiet?
Really quiet, obviously. Raised over 150 grand.
Wow.
I know.
Awesome. Who's your roommate?
Andy Powell.
Oh my God.
No, he was on good value, mate. Although
Mark Regan was banned, wasn't he, this year?
Yeah, Ronnie was banned for language and behaviour.
Yeah. It's quite something to get banned from a trip like that.
Well, I nearly got banned, mate, and he got thrown out of the hotel.
What for? You were throwing plant pots, weren't you?
No. Well, we book it through your golf travel.
My golf travel?
Your golf travel.
Yep.
And one of the guys at Whitson come up to me and said, "Oh, Tom, you know, the general manager's asked you to leave the hotel." I was like, "You what?" He said, "Yeah, you've been recognised as throwing plant pots around the hotel reception at 3 o'clock in the morning."
Yeah.
I was going, "What's it mean, mate?" And my bottom lip starts to go.
Quivering a bit.
Yeah. I start to think, "Oh no, I'm gonna get thrown, where am I gonna go?" But what happened was Andy Powell rearranged some plant pots in reception, so he actually took them out of the plant pot.
Yeah.
By the stem, or what do you call it?
Yeah, stem will do.
Yeah. Yeah. Lifted them out.
Yeah, okay.
Out of the pot, put them on the floor, rearranged a few.
Okay.
And I was rooming with him.
So he's got his own ideas on landscaping, that's what we're saying.
Feng Chi, is it?
He's a creative.
Yeah. And the guy thought it was me. Well, the hotel reception thought it was me because I was rooming with him. So my name's probably at the top of the room.
Most wanted list.
And he asked me to leave.
So when he found out it wasn't you?
No, so then Powley and Peter Scrivener, who organised the trip, and the guy from Your Golf Travel, went over to the general manager, had a chat with him.
Said, "Listen, Bert."
Yeah, well, Powley went over.
Don't throw me out, Bert.
In a pair of and a pair of swim shorts with no top on and flip flops.
Is he still shredded?
And they smooth. Yeah, he's all right, mate. And they smooth things over. But you know, we spend a lot on their bar, a lot on their restaurants,
just to make up the difference.
Yeah, I think they overlooked it. But it was a very good trip, mate.
Oh, well done.
Yeah,
you had a nice time.
Trip. Yeah, got back, and then I was actually here this week. I played in the co-op golf day.
Oh, did you?
So co-op have an annual golf day.
Here at the Celtic Manor.
They reserve two courses.
Yep.
Quite a few boys. There's a lot of footballers, a lot of ex-footballers, a couple of ex-rugby players were here. Tim Stimpson, Charlotte Britz, Paul Sculthorpe.
Scully!
Yeah. But it's really good, mate. They're real good format. We played golf and then we had a big dinner after. And walked into this dinner with a big stage and big backdrop. And there was like eight ergo rowers on the platform.
Indoor rowers.
Yeah. So what they did was every table had to participate in different challenges.
Yeah.
So they had a reaction challenge. They had a skipping challenge. They had a rowing challenge, obviously. So nominate someone on your table.
What was the rowing challenge? I take it you did that because you're strong.
The rowing challenge was row as far as you can in a minute. They're all linked up to a screen.
Mate, that is savage. Yeah. That is absolutely savage.
So I'm there like in my...
By the way, to our listeners, if a minute is flat out as far as you can go on a rower sounds easy because it's only a minute, have a go at gold medal pace. It is savage.
I was in like skinny jeans, Patrick Cox shoes.
Oh, standard.
And a shirt. And I had to row against eight other rowers. And I was started off like obviously strong. And then I was knackered, right? And all I could do was 35 seconds to go.
Oh, man.
Gone. But I won it. I won it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice one. How far did you go in a minute?
3:30.
That's decent, mate.
Is it all right?
That's good.
But then had another eight rows on and then after.
It's not as good as I could do.
Another eight rows then after.
Yeah.
And then they had another eight rows then after that. Paul Sculthorpe was in that.
Yeah.
Guess how far he rowed.
How far?
3:55.
Wowzers, that's punchy.
Yeah. He went for the technique, though, of pulling it up, you know, just to your sort of boob level.
Boob level.
So your pec level. So I was going down to stomach. He was going up a bit higher to chin. So learn a bit from that. He must do CrossFit.
Well, before I forget, yeah.
Guess where I am tomorrow? Ronan Keating's golf day.
Are you? How are you there? Are you his favourite player or something?
Big mate of mine, Mike Tindall, asked I wanted to go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just want to hear him sing It's Amazing.
Apparently he does every time you see him. Every time he says hello to people, he sings that for you.
He just sounds like Sean Connery, though, doesn't it? If you try and do a Ronan Keating impression, it just sounds like Sean Connery.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
A book fell in my head. And all I've got to blame is myself.
Piss off, mate.
Old ones always the best, aren't they?
Yeah.
Probably why I lost my job in the nursing home.
Oh, God.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake. You know, Ollie Barclay's bought a nursing home in Bath, and he's knocking it into 14 flats.
He
didn't kick the oldies out. They're already out. The building was for sale, but he's turned property developer, property tycoon.
All right.
But, I know this. I know this because Matt Perry was going to get involved and all that. And I had this incident with Matt Perry at the end of last week. And great boy, Matt. And he loves a beer every now and again. And he has been known to pop out for a takeaway and stop off for 9 pints on the way home, you know, and bring the takeaway home at 3 a.m. Excuse me. And... He's had a bit of trouble with his... He's got a lovely girlfriend, Becky. She's absolutely lovely. And you might have met her. She's great fun.
Probably.
And she's started to get a bit sick of... Yeah, probably. She's started to get a bit sick of Pez going out on the pistol. By the way, I've texted Pez and asked if I could tell this. And okay. he don't give him monkeys, mate. He's like, yeah, do what you want.
He's got a monkey, yeah. Bubbles,
cheetah. Yeah. So he goes... He went out on... It was Thursday night. And... He came back, it was only like midnight or 1 a.m, but he was smashed, you know, and he had way too many. And Becky lost the plot and said, that's it, I'm out. So the next morning he wakes up downstairs and she's not too happy. And she's like, right, I'm going, because it's Pez's flat. I'm going, and that sort of stuff. And they're laughing about this now, by the way, so that's why we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, right, give me another chance. I'm meant to be going out tonight. I won't go out tonight. Get our favourite, go and get our favourite meal. So she's... Escargot is their favourite meal, and there's a fish factory in Bath, fish workshop, where you go and get nice fish. So he goes and gets like these escargot, these snails and garlic in town, whatever they're going to bloody eat. I know, minging. And so he's going back, and then he goes past and sees Eddie Mack, who's a mate of ours from Bath, who does Stone and Granite. Great fella.
Okay.
And he goes back and sees Eddie Mack outside the Saracen's Head. We're walking back through town.
Is he mates with Annie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's mates with Big.
Gee.
He's mates with Ronald. So he sees Eddie Mack walking back through town. Eddie's like coming in for a pint, and he goes, no, I'm in the doghouse. I can't do that. And
yeah.
So he's like coming for a half, and Pez is like, right, I'll have half a pint. I will have half a pint of lager, you know. So anyway, he stays in there and has a shitload of booze and gets smashed.
Yeah.
And he's got this bag of food still, these, you know, snails and vegetables and garlic and stuff. So he's wandering home, and as he's getting back up, he's got this gate. He lives in the middle of Bath, and he's got this gate, like, it's like a rattly old gate. So he opens it, and obviously Becky hears him open the gate. And he can hear her, got these wooden stairs, hear her coming down the stairs, and she's already shouting, like in the hallway, "You bastard, you idiot." Because she said, "I'm leaving." He said, "Give me one more chance."
Yeah.
And she opens the door, and while she's opening the door, he's ripped open a bag of snails and thrown them all on the floor. She opens the door to scream at him, and he's looking at the snail saying, "Come on, we're nearly home. Come on, we're nearly there." You having that or not? That's payback for the crows, that is. with the lorries. That's payback, that is. Did you think that was a real story?
Yes.
Pez and Becky are doing
just
fine.
I started to think maybe he was like thinking on his feet. Do you know what a good technique is? Is if you're coming home like late,
yeah,
and you don't want to be caught, is to take all your clothes off,
yeah,
at the door, get naked, walk up the stairs backwards.
Yeah.
So she hears you, opens the door, you just pretend to walk downstairs. Just going to drink, love? Thirsty. Get back to bed, be up in a minute. Love you.
Oh, I forgot to put the dogs out.
What have you been up to then?
Oh, mate, boy, mush.
Don't you wish we had like accepted all those numerous invites? The Lions and gone now.
Nope. Do you?
Well, we didn't have any invites.
Oh, you speak for yourself. I had an invite, but I love the Lions. I genuinely didn't want to go. Mm. Genuinely didn't want to go. If there's loads and loads of cool work, I'm not a Lion, so, which is fine. I wouldn't have been pestered like you might have been out there. But do you know what? 15 hackers a day would get a bit boring for me. But anyway, I thought things would just cool right down at the end of the season, but it hasn't quite worked that way. It started this week, has been really chill, but last week was one of those days where you look like a sales rep because you got six shirts, all your jackets, four pairs of trousers, you know, and two suitcases, and you're leaving home for six days away, and I think it was six hotels in six nights.
Which a briefcase.
Is a briefcase. Yeah.
Did you have a briefcase?
No, not a briefcase. Not no. A real sales man bag. Rep, man bag. So it was. Well, if you can hear people behind us, it's just the hotel staff. Shanks is giving them evils, so...
It's not even staff, mate. It's just some random guy on his mobile trying to ruin our podcast.
Well, let's lob an ashtray at him.
Don't have any ashtray.
Give him the finger. So, yeah, that was, you know, if you... Shout to him, Shanks. Can you say something aggressive on air so people can know what you're really like?
Shh.
Shh, twat.
There we are.
So I did punditing on the semi-finals, the under-20s World Cup. I commentated on the final of that, which was fascinating. A couple of the England guys did really well, but ultimately, Ben Earl, the seven, was really, really good. Anyway, a couple of the guys played well, but the New Zealand under-20s were just jokes, and they hammered England, absolutely hammered them in the final. They were brilliant. The hooker was just ridiculous. He could play All Blacks now, no problem. I did a couple of dinners, one of which I'll concede... was a lot further away than I thought. It's one of those ones where you think you're going to Oxford and you end up in Norwich.
Yeah.
Like Alan Partridge, I thought for some reason I was going to Hertfordshire, I was actually going to Cheshire.
Oh, no.
Don't know what, but it was fine. It was absolutely fine. But he had a good, loads of fun. Did a thing with you, didn't I, on the Thames?
Yeah.
That was
good,
so went out
it?
On the Thames on the riverboat with a mate of mine who's commercial property, but he had a Lions event for loads of mates and clients and stuff. And we went out on the boat.
Myself, you, Mike Tindall,
Matt Perry,
and
Matt Powell.
Matt Powell hosted.
Yeah. So it was actually, that was a good day.
It was
day.
A lovely day, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you had to shoot off to go to La Manga, but I was I stayed overnight, so I was there in, on the sort of terrace bar to about half 9, 10, and went in and got my 8 hours, hence looking fresh. But it was that, I did a few things that week. It was a long old week, but it was nice. Tell you what we did do was, I did a Land Rover day on the Saturday.
Of course
in,
you did.
In Docklands. Yeah. And I hosted Q&A with some sailors. One of the sailors was Sarah Ayton, who is double gold medal winner.
Yeah, I know.
She's one of the three blondes in a boat.
Yeah, woman, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And two of the academy lads who were just wicked lads, are so bright. And anyway, there was loads of cool stuff going on, but mainly there was Land Rover, wherever they have Land Rover sort of presence, that Land Rover Day or whatever, an area, they have a really good, they have like one of those, you know, like the caravans that are made of steel, the American looking ones, what are they called?
Yeah.
I'll think of it in a minute.
Yeah.
Air something. Anyway, have one of those and they make Jordans. Really, really nice burgers and coffee.
Yeah.
So, but also,
exactly what you mean.
But Sarah, they have these mini Ben Ainslie Racing catamarans. And Sarah Ayton, who's like, you know, double Olympic champion.
Woman.
Yeah. Takes out my little girl, gives her a sailing lesson one-on-one on a catamaran. It's awesome.
Nice.
And when she needed a wee, she just put a life jacket on, chucked her in the water, dragged her back out and carried on. So, you know, really, really cool.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, but this week has been pretty chill. So I've been doing quite a lot of barbecuing. I've been lunching and dinnering. I've been kind of lazy. And I'm okay with that. I'm going to Ibiza this Wednesday, mate.
Oh, lovely.
6 days in Ibiza.
Quiet weekend, yeah?
Oh, mate, I'll be hitting it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So odd. Oh. So we're going to talk about some rugby, and there is only really one game to talk about, which is nice.
I know.
Shouldn't take us too long, should it, boy?
No.
The Might Lions, be. I know it's 30-15, but I'm just going to come out there and say it. I'm gutted to say it, but it's true. Lions got drilled in the first test by the All Blacks. I know, again, the scoreline doesn't look like they got drilled, and some people have said that Reece Webb's score at the end better represented the match. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they were quite handily beaten, don't you?
The try at the end was a good try by Reece Webb.
Yeah,
he looks really dangerous.
Yeah.
He always is dangerous. He's looked dangerous all tour. But that score did not affect any of that game.
No.
No, 80 minutes was on the clock when it scored. The game was already won. So it was too little, too late. So I don't think you can take too much from that try. Yeah, it was a great try and it's great for him and he's a great player and I think he should start next week. But
I agree.
It didn't have any relevance on the actual game.
Yeah.
It didn't put any pressure on New Zealand. 80 minutes was on the clock. But what do you think of the Lions' performance?
I think I was surprised actually, because I think overall what I think happened is that the people are talking about the Lions finishing and the Lions forward pack, and we'll get onto both of those things. But ultimately, I feel like both of those things were affected by something I didn't think would be an issue, and that is fitness. Brought about via tempo. Now the Lions are absolutely no doubt extremely fit, and if you put the Lions in a fitness test with the All Blacks, I bet you there'd be hardly any difference. But they're not superhuman, these guys, but they played at, the All Blacks played at such a tempo that the ball was so quick and they were so
where do you get your tempo from?
Well, you get your tempo from really, really fit, efficient support players. First of all, ball carrier ideally making any ground, even half a yard, so defenders have got to retreat.
Yeah.
Really, really fit, efficient support players blasting potential ball slower down away, rucks. So you get it all from there, but you also get it from the opposition for whatever reason, either through your work or their lack of whatever, their own deficiencies, not getting in a position to slow that ball down. It was so quick. Having said that, you still got to do something with it. And where the All Blacks really excelled for me was they got, even their front five players are coming onto that ball and they're moving. There's a little bit of movement. They're carrying really hard, good body positions. The ball isn't relentlessly offloaded, but it's repeatedly offloaded. Even if it's short and it's just half a yard gain, you think, well, that's pointless. It's not pointless because defenders are having to make tackles and every single time they know they can't switch off. So I actually think the Lions were exhausted. I thought they looked exhausted
in
that game.
They did. They looked exhausted going to the scrums. They looked exhausted having to defend for large periods. And you knew it was going to come. You knew this New Zealand attack was going to be relentless. You saw how good they were against Samoa. Lions have more often than not been able to control the tempo of games by able to slow it down.
Yeah.
And they just weren't able to do that the weekend. The biggest thing for me, and I think it's been the problem throughout the whole tour, is the opportunities which they're not creating into tries. The first opportunity was John Davison's break on the second minute. Mm. Goes down the left-hand side, interlinks with Connor Murray, and I think had he not been ankle tapped, that could have been a try. But they end up going left to Elliot Daly, who gets bundled into touch.
Mm. Now, Just about.
Nearly scores, but still not scoring with a clear break.
Yeah.
The second one then is on the 27-minute mark. There's
so you can't call that exhaustion actually that early.
No, you can't. But then on the 27-minute mark, there's a crossfield kick. Elliot Daly catches it and tries to offload to John Davis, and the ball doesn't go to hand. But Liam Williams is in acres of space as well. So it's another opportunity where they've got beyond New Zealand's gain line. But the main ones I reckon are halftime. It's 13-8 on the 43-minute mark. John Davis, there's a turnover ball. John Davis goes down the left-hand wing, interlinks, I think, with Connor Murray, with Anthony Watson. And they go left. Nothing happens. There's no space for Watson. Eventually, they come right, and ball gets into Ben Teo's hands. There's Sean O'Brien. There's someone else outside. There's a lot of space. He tucks it, tries to step inside, loses his footing, and eventually they lose the ball. It gets kicked back to Liam Williams, who links with Watson again. Watson then tries to offload to nobody, lose the ball. And then for the next sort of 10 minutes, they're under a huge amount of pressure from New Zealand. New Zealand come back. And then that results in the scrum. Mm. I've not seen a team take a scrum advantage like that. You know, the ball's going the pack's going forward, the ball's at Kieran Reid's feet. Yeah. The penalty's been won already. Everyone knows it's a penalty.
Yeah.
And then Reid just does a magic offload.
Wasn't that nice?
Inside of Smith. You know, Smith draws in, you know, I think he draws in Farrell. And then John Davis doesn't manage to keep hold of Dagg. Mm. And then Ione in a corner for a left-hand try.
Yeah.
And then there's another one. They're 23-8 then. And they lose a line out then, I think, at the 67-minute mark, 10 metres out. They lose a line out. It sort of goes back and forth. The All Blacks eventually clear the ball and the Lions have to start again on the 22. So they've got another key position in the New Zealand 22. John Davis hits up off the line out. Ken Owens comes around the corner. There's some miscommunication from Sexton and Farrell. The ball goes on the floor. It's then box kicked and, you know, Elliot Daly and Liam Williams are running back, trying to take the ball over their shoulder. Mm. It's quite a hard take, that, running back.
Yeah.
And
You'd hope he could take that, though.
You do hope he can take it, but it is difficult.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one. And then, you know, Ione picks up the ball.
Yeah.
Scores in the corner.
He's El Rapido, isn't he?
That's it. Game over. So they're making opportunities, but they're just not finishing. And that's been, I think that's been common all the way through this tour.
Yeah. You know, on the subject of finishers, you know, these same guys may well finish better this weekend, but I don't necessarily think chopping it from another couple of guys on the tour, swapping them in, is going to make much difference. I sort of feel like it's a separate subject and it's a completely pointless point, but I was actually talking about it with my neighbour the other day, and I think Brendan Gallagher has actually made the point on Twitter, and it's a really good one, is that if you want finishers, well, half the best finishers, loads of the best finishers are at home. I mean, just sort of, you know, not English guys alone, but, you know, you got guys like Chris Ashton, Christian Wade, Strettle, Abendon, and Dinn's not a winger, fine, but you got Strettle watching from France, the, you know, Ashton and Wade watching on telly, Tim Visser, who, you know, wasn't ever talked about, but geez, the bloke can finish. You know, I'm not saying he should be on the lines too, I'm just saying these guys are top finishers. And then you get someone like Denny Solomona.
Yeah.
You know, we're British. He played against Argentina. He had an absolute howler defensively and then scored the winner. Do we reckon he will be rewarded for scoring that winner as readily as he will be punished for missing those tackles? I suspect he won't be, actually. And I worry about him.
I think you've got finishers. I think Watson's a good finisher. I think Daly's a good finisher. And we've seen that. I think they are still two of the best wingers that the British Lions have got.
Yeah.
Do you think that if the Lions kept their same 15, they would win this weekend?
I'm going to completely contradict myself, because I feel like I don't think they need to make loads of changes, because you talk about getting to know each other, you're starting from scratch again if you do that. Equally, I feel like the New Zealand was so dominant in that, they didn't rout the Lions, let's not go, but they were so comfortably dominant in a game that so many people expected to be really, really close.
Yeah.
That it wasn't that close. And I think that even for pros, I think it takes, I almost feel like it would be psychologically impossible for that exact 15 to beat the All Blacks next week. I don't know why I think that, I just do. They've just been so soundly beaten. How do you come back from
They're
that?
They're so positive as well. And you look at what team with a penalty to the left-hand side of the post would tap and go at such an early stage of the game.
Yeah.
You'd put your foot on it, you'd kick the points, you'd build a score, they tap and go, Lions switch off a little bit, Elliot Daly gets too close to Ben Teoh, and Taylor scores in the wing.
Similarly, so he's out of position, was he?
I think a little bit, yeah.
Is that a centre playing on the wing?
No, I think he's good enough footballer all round, but I think it's the point where you see a penalty's given, you assume that
switch off.
Everyone's going to go for post. Again, you know, they're 23-8 up and they go for the touchline.
Yeah.
You know, if they, you know, most teams would again go for points, another 3 points on the board, take themselves 2-3 points clear, opportunities clear. But they don't. They are incredibly, incredibly positive team. I've said it from the start, right? You're going to have to score tries against this team. And where we thought the Lions would score tries would potentially be the scrum, would be line-out drives. Mm. Peter Omani was amazing in the line-out, but that line-out didn't function when it went down to the floor.
Yeah.
Ben Teoh had a good game. Missed one opportunity in the second half after the John Davis break. But he gets you over the game line. He stops Sonny Bill Williams.
So I thought he was great, but you don't think he's the answer, do you?
I think he played fantastic, but I don't think he's the answer. I think if you want to beat the All Blacks, you've got to score tries, obviously. And we saw that at the weekend. We didn't score enough tries. And you need the right players in the right positions and the right situations to be able to do that. You know, I reckon had Owen Farrell been in that position in the second half after the John Davis break, I think it would have been a try to the Lions. He gets you over the game line, Teoh. There's no doubt about that. He stops Sonny Bill Williams, but it's irrelevant. You know, you stop Sonny Bill Williams and you still lose by 30 points to 15.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have to try and manipulate defences, and you're going to have to try and break teams down out wide. So you need your best ball players.
Yeah.
And you need your best creators. And I've been hammered for putting this on Twitter. You know, I still think that Sexton-Farrell combination will work. Farrell plays 12 for England.
Yeah.
He plays 10 for his club, yeah. He plays 12 for England. Yeah. He played 12 for the last 2 years. England probably been the best team in the Northern Hemisphere for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He's played at 12. I've not seen him that often, if I can remember at all, playing 10 internationally.
He finished off a couple of games, I think, when George went off.
But he plays 12 because that one pass a little bit further out, there's more room out there, more room for him to manipulate, more room for him to place the ball. You know, there's more dummy runners. With Teoh, with John Davis, they're robust runners, they break the game line, but we're still not scoring tries. We're still, I think, off first face, still a little bit too predictable. So I would have Farrell in.
And you'd leave John Davis in there, presumably?
I'd leave John Davis in there. I'd play Sexton, Farrell and John Davis.
Okay.
Because you need to score tries, mate. And Ben Teoh will get you over the game line, but he won't score your tries.
Do you think Owen Farrell would deal with Sonny Bill as well as Ben Teoh?
Doesn't matter, mate. Doesn't matter, because we dealt with it's irrelevant because we dealt with Sonny Bill Williams at the weekend and that didn't work.
Yeah.
So, but I think you have to look at the game differently. Like they've got Sonny Bill Williams. He takes it up. He's a good offloader. Owen Farrell's a good tackler. But I think they need to work on their strengths and not worry about too much about New Zealand, but what they're going to bring and where they're going to attack and where they're going to create space.
And you'd start Reece Webb at nine?
I'd start Reece Webb at nine.
I would actually. I think they probably won't, but I think I would. I think he's that front five for New Zealand is such a nightmare for England. We'll talk about them more in a minute. But they're so active that... For the Lions.
Force of habit.
For the Lions, that they need to find... Yes, you're right, they need to think about themselves, not focus entirely on New Zealand, but they need to find ways to fatigue that front five because they were... I mean, they were a nightmare for the Lions at the weekend now because they were so active, and I think Reece Webb does that because he keeps... I think Conor Murray makes breaks. Geez, of course he does, but I think Reece Webb is just sharper on his feet, and he's as muscular, if not more muscular, I think, on the break. I don't mean looking ripped. He does as well, but more muscular on the break than Conor Murray, so he needs less of a gap. But I just think it makes those forwards concentrate, and concentrating when you're knackered is tiring. Mm. So... as we saw from the line scrum, I think. So I think I personally would go with Webb as well. The forward pack was fascinating. I mean, as you can imagine, guys, we've got a zillion questions
we'll
over the last
then.
Couple of weeks on, you know, from emailed in, and on social media. But one of the questions sent in from John Vary on email was, are New Zealand scrummaging straight? They seem to be working an angle and stepping left, or am I just looking for excuses? I think... you probably are looking for excuses, actually. Firstly, no one scrummages completely straight. So if Alou said, number one, scrummages completely straight, parallel with the touchline, the tight head can shift himself 3 or 4 inches to the left, and Alou said will go pissing past him on the right. So there's always a little bit of an angle just so the bodies stay together.
Yeah.
But New Zealand don't cheat. New Zealand do not cheat in the scrum. They never have. England also don't cheat in the scrum. Dan Cole can occasionally work an angle, or he can knock Alou said down a bit. But as a rule, they just go flat-out power. I've been coached by Roundtree myself. He likes flat-out power because that is how you get the most power going forward. As soon as you start working angles, you lose a lot of the power from your second rows and whatever. I'm being boring, but straight is just more powerful. So what I think happened, the scrum struggled. And I think that perhaps New Zealand were certainly better than, you know, I and we gave them credit for. It's one thing in the scrum. But I also think that the legs were run off the Lions forwards. I think they were, as we said earlier, I think they were exhausted. I think they're incredibly fit, but they were exhausted.
For large periods of that game, though, they were just defending. They had to make tackles,
knackering.
Get off the floor, back up. And because New Zealand are playing with such tempo, you can't blitz.
Yeah.
Because you have to drift, because you can't get yourself back in position. You know, you
can't get back to the line to get off it.
You blitz off slow ball.
Yeah.
That's what you do. And even New Zealand were disrupted, you know. Ben Smith went off.
Yeah.
Crotty
went off.
Bowden Barrett went to 15. Cronin come on. And it didn't make any difference.
No.
Whatsoever.
But the tempo they're playing at, the scrum where, so someone was, everyone rips into Stuart Barnes on social media. For whatever reason.
Because he's not on there.
And he doesn't listen to podcasts, I can tell you that. But I've always...
Apart from ours.
It's the voice I grew up with, so I must say I love Barnsley. And if I'm a minority or not, I don't care. I've always really liked Barnsley, even when he slagged me off. He was right, unfortunately. But he said, you know, this Jack McGrath's been brought on to have a crack at the set piece when he came on for Mac over in a pole. And that first scrum, they got hammered.
Yeah.
And these people are ripping into Stuart Barnes for not knowing what he's talking about. That is absolutely why Jack McGrath was brought on. He was fresh. But on the tight head was Tyke Furlong, who... actually did a load of work but was knackered, and you lose concentrate. They lost concentration for one scrum, or actually, you know, the beginning of one scrum. Then it's too late to recover because you're against top internationals. Kieran Reid does a bit of beautiful stuff. Ioane goes never in the corner, so that's concentration. But that break in concentration is brought about through relentless pressure from the All Blacks and exhaustion. And you know, I think the remedy for that is a lot easier said than done, but I actually think that whether you change your props or not, I've always advocated starting either McGrath or Marler.
Yeah.
With Mako coming off the bench for impact, and you know there are arguments both ways, but I think whoever starts in that front row, that front five, is given the job of absolutely ripping into the All Black front five. Every time you get the opportunity to drive or scrum, you just, what we call, just leave the ball in. As long as the ref lets you, you leave it in and you hammer and hammer and hammer away. You don't have to be moving forward. You have to put the work into their legs. And it takes me back, Tommy, when I remember playing against Leicester at Welford Road, and it was Roundtree, Cockerell, Roundtree, Dorian West, Garforth, Johnson, you know, Benny yeah. Kay, all those guys. And it was me, George Shooter and Julian White. You were playing. We had a decent scrum and we were shoving people around.
I'm glad you included me in there because I was about to hammer you.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And
just like the Lions game.
I remember Darren Garforth, we were having a bit of a tussle and I sort of moving forward an inch, he comes back an inch and it's quite even and the ball's at the back and Dorian West is just shouting, make him scrummage and make him scrummage. And Darren Garforth's just shouting at Martin Corrie the whole time, Cozza, yeah. Cozza, Cozza, Cozza. Yes, Cozza. And they're not going forward. They're trying to, but we're strong enough to resist them.
Yeah.
But we're not going forward. They're flat out. Mate, it's on the halfway line. It's not even a major scrum. Every time they put the ball in, they are saying, leave it in, work them, work them, work them, work them. And Whitey and I are coming out the scrum, and we were fine, holding our own. Yeah, 50, yeah. 60 minutes in, we are dead on our asses because we're used to blowing people away. We're not used to these long, horrible
yeah,
scrums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think you almost set the front five a challenge. You rip into this lot, and we'll change you at half-time.
Take the legs out.
Even at half, 45 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. Change them, but if you don't put the fatigue into their legs, they are going to run wind around again because at close quarters, they were relentless and immaculate, and I think they ran the lines off their feet.
So I said on a Five Live interview that I think Warburton should start.
Right.
I said that because he is the best at slowing ball down. He's the most physical presence.
As soon as he came on, he was doing it, actually.
The Lions have got in slowing ball down. And I know his form probably hasn't been great, but it was exactly the same in the Six Nations.
Yeah.
He was in exactly the same situation. He'd been injured, a couple of injuries. People were doubting him. He flew through that.
Yeah.
That's just the quality that he is. He is the best at a ruck menace. And not just, you know, putting feet in and getting in the way, actually getting over that ball and slowing it down. And he needs someone like that because New Zealand are going to attack constant. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. They're the best ball players out there. That's what makes them so great, is often they don't need numbers on their back, do they?
No.
You know, they are just phenomenal. And it's wave after wave after wave of organised clinical attack. Yeah. Where they know exactly what they're doing. And you need someone in there to slow that down and to break up that cycle. Otherwise, it's just going to be backpedaling all the way. Mm. You're going to give away a penalty because you're in desperation. And then, you know, all of a sudden the momentum's with New Zealand. So Warburton, for me, has to start this weekend. What about you?
Excuse me. I, again, having said I don't advocate wholesale changes, I think I would consider
I'm turning you.
Yeah, I would consider a change on the loose head. I think Mako's wonderful, as you know, and he is clearly, it's not what I think, he is clearly one of the best props in the world. But I think I just want to put some work into those All Black front five's legs, and I think I might pick Marler and tell him he's got 40 minutes, and I might even pick Dan Cole.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who does your tampons? Who's your second rose?
Who does your tampons?
Who's your second rose?
I don't get the joke, though.
It's not a joke, mate. Who's your second rose?
Oh, do you want me to keep... Oh, all right, I'll keep it going. My second rose are Cruz and Itoje.
Okay.
With Alan Wynne. Probably not on the bench, actually. I thought Alan Wynne... Everyone went nuts when Alan Wynne... got the... Not everyone. Lots of people went nuts because he started over Itoje. I think they're absolutely fine. And actually, Alan Wynne was banging people in defence. He'd hit a couple of really big hits. But I think they need more menace around the breakdown, as you said, and Alan Wynne can do that. But I think that while he is very good at targeting bodies, I feel like Itoje's better at targeting the ball. George Cruz didn't have a great game, but he is a top player. And I think, look at the All Blacks. Do they drop everyone when they have a bad game? No, they don't. They make the odd change. But actually, them, I feel like Israel Dagg was in poor form a year ago, whenever it was, and they played him back into form, or before the World Cup, rather. So, you know, I kind of like that. And George Crew's a wonderful player. He's also a really good line-out caller.
Yeah.
And he works well with Jamie George, whom I'd also leave in the team.
So you're not making many changes, but you're changing two props.
No, I'm not.
A second row and a back row, yeah?
I'm changing... Yeah, but you... I'm
hypocrite alert.
I know. Oh, hypocrite warning. Guilty. I feel like I'd make a few changes, but equally I think they don't have to change the props. I think they've got to change the approach of the props. I think they have to go harder, and it's impossible not to pace yourself.
Yeah.
When you're hanging out your arse and you're dying and your lungs are dropping out, and you look up at the clock and there's 18 minutes gone or 14 minutes gone, it is impossible not to pace yourself a tiny bit. You've got to get through it. It's not a sprint. But I think if they have a 40 to 50 minute mentality and they're told, I hate pre-planned subs, but they say, look, this is not, we're definitely taking you off, but this is how we want you to play, I think that could help. Itoje, as I said, for those reasons, I think Faletau obviously stays. I like the idea of Sam Warburton coming in. Yeah. I thought Sean O'Brien was good, actually, and he's a wonderful player over the ball, but he was kind of all the Lions had. And if you think back to the work that, not so much now, but until a couple of seasons ago, actually, no, the last game, the last midweek game before the test, the work Dan Cole does at the breakdown, he was fantastic in that game. But think about the work Dan Cole has done in the past at the breakdown. Think about what Brian O'Driscoll used to do.
Similar to, like, say, someone like Gethin Jenkins, who was just phenomenal over the ball.
Yes, what they are, but guys like Brian O'Driscoll, guys like Dan Cole, Gethin Jenkins, they're what I would regard as bonus breakdown players.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not the guys that are meant to be good at it, but they're extra.
Yeah.
They're picked for other reasons, but they're brilliant at that. Now, I feel like, you know, if whoever plays in the centre, so I feel like Tio and John Davis have to do more at the breakdown. They have to work harder. They have to try and slow ball down. It's not just up to Warburton. I think the whole team has to have a focus on slowing New Zealand down when they haven't got the ball.
Yeah.
When the Lions haven't got the ball, slow New Zealand down, because their ball was so fast, no team could live with ball that fast.
No.
So having made no changes, I'm making 15.
But I'm not saying that I wouldn't be... I'd still be happy with Tio and John Davis and, say, Farrell or Sexton at 10. Like that, that, you know, I still think that's a good setup and a good combination. Yeah. But I just reckon, in my opinion, that we need to score more tries.
Mm.
Score more tries. We need the right players in the right situations, in the right positions. And I think you get more out of Owen Farrell at 12. And it annoys me when people are writing off Sexton. You know, this guy's done it all. This guy's beaten New Zealand. Not many people can put their hand up and say they've done that. He knows what it takes. And he's probably not been on his best form, but the guy's still got it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to come on. You know, more people are saying,
especially,
you know,
at 10.
More people are saying, you know, when Tio went off, it didn't look as good.
Yeah,
but
I thought that.
Essentially, the game was already won by then. You know, New Zealand were in the driving seat.
Yeah.
It was substitutions more so out of desperation behind, go on and try and do something to turn this game.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, the mindset of when you're starting a game, of building a game, of working out where the space is, how to break down the team. So
you've got an issue at line out a little bit if you have, you know, Warburton and Sean O'Brien.
He's still good in the line out, Warburton.
Yeah, he'll go up all right. He's not
I know
Courtney
he's not
Laws,
Peter Omani.
But people are talking about maybe Courtney Law. Peter Omani was good in the line out. He didn't have the impact on the game that we hoped he would. I mean, he may well still get a run because he certainly didn't do a lot wrong. But the people are talking about Courtney Laws at six because he's in great form and he's a line out threat. But I really think what the Lions need more than what Laws brings is, you know, breakdown warriors. That's what they need.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's one of those. He's 6'7". He's good at the breakdown. He turns over a fair amount of ball, but he's not Warburton or O'Brien at the breakdown.
But we're both on the agreement of if the same Lions team is picked this weekend, they're not going to win.
I agree. Liam Williams, by the way, it's easy for us to say because we're not coaching and Halfpenny's a much safer choice. Liam Williams, I would still select.
Of course
at fullback. I don't care that he made a couple of mistakes. He's a genius, and as soon as you repick him, his confidence will reselect him. His confidence will grow. I think he's the man.
He makes little errors now and again. He made quite a big one, obviously, trying to take that ball over his head off a turnover. But
that was horror.
That counter attack, you know, twice. Once the 90-meter try, and the other putting Anthony Watson on a nice little switch out the back door, gets him over the game line.
No one else does that on this tour.
Stuart Hogg potentially would be another, but no one absolutely frightens defences.
I mean, you could say that Watson might, because he's very accelerative and athletic, but we just don't know. And lots of people say Watson is going to be a fullback, and he plays fullback at Bath a lot, but really his international experience is as a winger. So the truth is, we don't quite know what he would do at 15. We just don't quite know, and it's quite a nice gamble to watch. But I think Liam Williams is, I mean, I think you need as many threats as possible across the field, and he's a genuine threat.
And also, you know, there'd be people out there who say, you know, we're making breaks, we just need to finish off those opportunities and be more clinical. And for me, that doesn't work, that's it. Because to be more clinical, yeah, you're going to make breaks, but to be more clinical, you need the right players with the right skill set in the right positions.
Yeah.
And when you're not finishing off opportunities, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
So this is why I would make changes. I've said from the start, Farrell should be the 12. He's the best. He's the best 12 and 10 Lions have got, but you get more out of him at 12.
Yeah,
and he's only featured there half a game, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're picking players for this Lions tour on their international form. You're not picking them on club form.
No.
No. Otherwise,
I'd be going.
Yeah. Ashton be going.
Yeah.
Steph Evans be going. You know, one of Scarlett's when he's been on fire. You know,
Strettle would be going.
You're picking players.
Abendon would be going.
Same names. You're picking players on how well they play for their country.
Yeah.
Yet you're not picking them in their position.
Yeah. Tommy, so, there's logic to what you say.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know how the Lions do it. I don't see them doing it. I hope I'm wrong, but this was a game that
I thought weather would be a big issue as well, but it wasn't. You know, it looked dry, but then it started to rain, and New Zealand's skill set was still way above.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were astonishingly good.
They're ruthless.
Ruthless, but they're ruthless, but they're relentless. So, but by the time they get an opportunity, they seem composed. Their attacking shape when a break is made or a turnover's gained. Their attacking shape seems so natural and so well rehearsed. So they look brilliantly coached, but they also, they just, I mean, again, you know, when your dad says you've got to be fitter than them, you're like, all right, dad, cheers, mate. We're all pros. Everyone's training hard every day. I feel like that, but it's like they just looked so fit, so full of energy. I mean, there are periods of play where the whistle goes and the All Blacks are hanging. They're absolutely hanging.
Of course they are.
But then the ball comes to them, and they can produce it, and they can just produce and produce and produce, and they don't have a lot of huge guys. Of course, there are some big men out there, but Joe Moody's not huge. Owen Franks is not huge. No. Brodie Retallick is very tall. Sam Whitelock is very tall, but they're not giant men. You know, they haven't got massive build. They've
Backy
got good
Bothans
technique.
Or Danny Grucox, eh?
They're not beasts. You know, they're nothing like that. So Sam Kane is stocky, but not a beast. Jerome Kano is fierce. But if you see him up close, he's a big unit, of course.
Yeah, he's
he is.
A little bit smaller than me.
Yeah, but he's probably 6'4" and 17 stone, which sounds enormous, but it really isn't, you know.
It's heavy
just
boned.
Just really athletic, and I feel like, you know, they're so good on their feet for the 80 minutes.
Steve Hansen obviously coached Wales, didn't he?
Yeah.
The best coach I reckon I've ever been coached by.
Really?
And we used to do things, that, you know, like when you warm up and stuff, you have a game of touch. We used to do, say, whatever it would be, 12 on 12, but 15 on 15, but it'd be the width. So post to post would be the width.
Right, yeah.
And when you've got a wide perimeter like that, it just encourages like more skill work from forwards. You know, they're in space, they're ball players.
Yeah.
It's like, I always remember, like, he was always on at us about, you know, the forward skills and the back skills and having that links. Because at the moment, there's no real link between our forwards and our backs to the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, we scrum, we drive, we ruck, and then it's shipped out to the backs, really. There's not that much interchange. There's a little bit, but not as much as New Zealand. I always remember that was a big thing for him.
Yeah, it's interesting and difficult to coach that over the course of a week.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to look at your strengths, and I think the Lions' strengths in comparison to the All Blacks are not there. But you have to work your strengths, and I think they don't have the edge in endurance and skill.
No.
They do if they pick the right team and have the right mentality, have the edge in power up front. And I feel like they've just got to stop thinking about the next 40 minutes and pump it into them now.
How long have New Zealand had to analyse the British Lions?
Yeah.
And how long have the British Lions had to analyse New Zealand? Not much. One game.
So
Samoa.
True. Yeah.
And what can you take from that when you win it, when a team wins 78-0?
Yeah.
Weren't under any pressure whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just throwing the ball around. LA.
Yeah.
I heard one Simone shout touch and one of the players didn't stop, which is quite annoying. But yeah, they're
excruciatingly good, aren't they? So we've got a load of questions for you.
Of course we have.
We're not going to do all of them, do as many as
just
we can.
Just quickly, Dave.
All right.
How do people get in touch with us?
Well, it's funny you should ask, boy. You can tweet at Flats and Shanks, Facebook Flats and Shanks, email contact@flatsandshanks.com.
Yeah. Make sure you review us.
Or ring Shanks on 07881.
Make sure you review us on iTunes as well.
Yeah, review
us. And subscribe.
Subscribe. Review us. Say we're great guys.
We're trying to get up the charts.
Say we love the elderly. Say we're pro-Corbyn slash May. Whatever you want. So you've got some questions. Okay, first one on the email is from Francis Booth. Hiya, Francis. Said some very nice stuff in the first paragraph. We won't repeat that because repeating praise or retweeting praise is cringy, but thank you very much.
Do it all the time.
Why do players who get injured on tour always go home straight away? Why don't they stay for the holiday? Why don't they stay to support the team? Is it money? Is it because the Lions are paying for their travel and hotel? Or because they find it depressing because they can't play?
I think it's a mixture of everything. I think if you get early, if you injure yourself early, then it's a cost issue, isn't it? Because you would keep this player through the whole of the trip, the flights, the accommodation. You'd be bringing another player in as well to take his place.
Yeah.
I think if you get injured towards the end, there's the options of staying on. But it's also quite depressing as well. I remember getting injured in 05 and you're away from all the boys. You're not involved. You're not on the bus to training. You're not involved in the training. You're not involved in the meetings. You're not involved in the food.
Yeah.
You're just on your own. You're on your own tour.
Spare part.
Yeah. You're just chatting away with the physios.
Yeah.
And you don't feel part of it whatsoever. It's quite difficult to deal with.
It's like Jonathan Humphreys said to me once: when you're injured, you feel like an elbow in a bucket of tits.
Good one.
That's a good one. But yeah, I speaking from experience, I went, I've been on tour and got injured, and I've got on tour injured, hoping to get fit and not got fit. And, it is genuinely soul destroying to be out there when you know you're not contributing and you're not part of anything and you're basically ticking a box and you're basically a food bill. So Mark Regan called me food bill for 4 weeks. But I went out to New Zealand, I might have said this before on the pod, I went out to New Zealand and Australia in 04 with England and didn't put my boots on to train once. My Achilles was bad and it didn't really? Never got better and I was out for ages, whatever. But I never didn't do a single training session on the tour, and we got pissed a lot, which was great fun. But it was carnage. But apart from that, it was awful. And if I'd known I wasn't going to be fit after a week, I'd have paid my own flight out of there. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. You go into the meetings, you're an absolute spare part. So I can't think of anything worse.
Can you do another question? Because I'm having a bit of a technical breakdown here, mate.
Yeah, of course, mate. I'm all right. You're struggling a bit, are you?
Yeah.
Marcus Wagner. Marcus James Wagner.
Hold on, I found one actually.
Well, hang on, I've got one now.
Oh no, before I forget.
All right.
Duncan Bell.
Yeah.
Friend of yours.
Former acquaintance, former teammate.
Dave's secret mole? ?
Oh yeah.
What secret mole have you?
It's
like,
not a secret.
Like on Hot Shots Part 2.
No, it's not a mole. Moles
wart.
Are.
Is it a wart?
It's a wart.
Is it?
It's a boil. Yeah.
It's a wart.
No, it's a beauty spot. Do you want the details?
But can you just keep it clean?
It's a beauty spot, and because moles are extrusive, they stick out by nature, and this doesn't do that. It's a beauty spot. It's not a big beauty spot. It's a very little beauty spot.
Okay.
And it's on a private area of mine, but. Because Stuart Barnes used to have a big mole on his cheek, apparently, which I can't remember, but he's had it removed or he's still got it or something.
Okay.
But Tomo and some of the lads used to call my gentleman sausage, they used to call that Mini Barnsley. And whenever I used to take my kit off in the change rooms, Tomo would be like, Barnsley, Barnsley, Stuart, Barnsley, Stuart, Stuart, Stuart Barnsley, Stuart. And then I remember once standing in a room, toweling myself down, and I'm toweling my back, and Thomas just sitting next to me, and he starts having a conversation with my knob.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, are you commentating this weekend, mate? It's like, what? You're off to Ireland, Dublin, are you, for the Leinster game? He's like, I said, what are you doing? He's like, oh, sorry, mate, just talking to Barnsley. So
a vision I've got now is of a horse's penis.
A horse's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, sorry about that, listeners. Marcus Wagner. Again, says some very nice things. Thank you very much. What was the funniest or most brutal thing a coach said to you during training or after a match? And the example he cites is when they did fitness testing once in pre-season, and the coach said to one of the fat players in his team, I would have timed your run, but I didn't have my calendar with me. I.e., it took days. I mean... you know, the most brutal thing a coach ever said to you. I quite like your 50th cap one, which you've done before on this
pod. Yeah.
Where Gatlin said, I've never thought you were much good. Cheers. And you got off the bus. That
was yeah, no, great. I never thought you were great. We used to target you when Wasp played Saracens, but you made 50 caps. Well done. On the bus, boys.
Amazing.
I'm trying to think. Anything brutal?
I remember getting Young Player of the Year at Saracens in 99 and walking up to the stage at the dinner. I think we might have mentioned this as well. And Mark Evans, who was DOR then, who's still a friend now, he saw him quite recently actually, he's a lovely man. And he, as I walked up to the stage, I won a watch for Young Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And he's like, and this watch cost more than we've paid him all season. And everyone laughed and he said, not a joke. And he wasn't joking, it wasn't a great watch, but it was more than I earned when that season, I'll tell you that. I remember Steve Meehan when we were at Bath. I played against Ulster.
Yeah.
In Ulster, and I just had a tough day against BJ Botha, the prop. And I played against him a few times, and generally it was all right. He's a tough guy, and some days you're good, and some days you're bad. I just struggled on this day. I couldn't get it right. And he came off, and he just looked at me blank face, and he just said, "Tough day." I was like, "Yeah," and he looked away. Like, cheers.
Yeah,
I'm not playing next
much.
Week then. Cheers, mate. Cheers, buddy. So I guess they're probably. Oh, Martin Haag dropped me once. He said, "You know, you're not playing at the weekend, don't you?" And I knew I wasn't because I hadn't played very well. And I was like, it didn't happen. And I was like, I said, "Why not? You were shit Saturday. You know that, mate. I'm not gonna get technical. You were shit. So have a think about it. I want to see you up for it in training today, or we're not going to put you on a bench." I said, "You got it." So, you know, I was just trying to whack as many people as I could in training. I made the bench, don't worry. I got back in the team the week after, but he dropped me. "You were shit this week. Shit Saturday." I quite like that.
Yeah.
No mucking about.
I'm struggling on Twitter, mate, to download some questions. So if
you okay?
Can,
is everything all right over there?
It's just not working, boy.
Did you see any of England Argentina?
I saw the first test.
Yeah, so but the things I want to mention from that are Henry Slade's touch for the try in that. Henry Slade didn't have a great second test, actually, poor guy. And
really
I just,
good.
I'm just glad I hope they just leave him in there because I think he's great and he'll grow into it. But his little bit of skill, that sort of show and go and the little chip through, jumping through was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And Will Collier, lots of guys made their debuts, but Will Collier came off the bench in both tests and he scrummed two of the... I tell you now, they are two of the hardest scrums I've ever seen at international level. They were that. Argentina were in great positions, fully going for England, fully targeting them. The second test was a 5-metre scrum, Argentina looking to take him over, and it was brutal, and he didn't budge an inch. I mean, that was... I've often watched Will Collier and thought, very good technique at Premiership level. Could he do it international level? Holy moly, he produced. That is a serious... scrummaging tight head. He was fantastic and sort of guy that you could build a team around. And when you bear in mind they got big sink there as well at Harlequins, they're doing very nicely, and Adam Jones obviously doing some good work there.
Good win by Wales in Samoa as well, 17-15. Appalling conditions.
Yeah, well, mind you, Samoa lost 78-0 a week earlier, so it doesn't look that good when you think about that, does it?
Yeah, but you're talking about a development, young, inexperienced Welsh team, and obviously after 78-0,
yeah,
team like Samoa are going to be hurting. They've still got some quality in there.
Yeah.
That's my own team. So it's a good win there. Chris Richards here on Twitter. After selecting Liam Williams at 15, will Gatlin revert him to wing once back with Wales? I think that's a negative step if he does. I think we found Liam Williams' best position. I found it a little bit strange, actually, mate, because Liam Williams has always really been considered with Wales as a winger.
Yeah.
And they've always put Lee Halfpenny at 15. I think they used him once in an autumn international. So I found it strange now, coming into the Lions tour, for the first test, why he selected at 15, when every other opportunity Gatland and Rob Howley have had, he's been on the wing. I couldn't understand that, because for me personally, he is a 15. He's the best 15 in Wales.
I think it's all about Stuart Hogg getting injured early. I thought if Stuart Hogg stays fit, Liam Williams starts that game on the wing.
But they don't rate him as a 15 in Wales, otherwise he would be playing there. You know what I mean?
But who's kicking the points for Wales, Bigger or Halfpenny? Halfpenny, so Halfpenny's in for his kicking, you see.
Bigger's
what I mean?
Great. Yeah, but Halfpenny could play on the wing. He was a winger originally when I taught him everything he knew.
I'd have Steph Evans, Keelan Giles, that's who I'd have.
A lot of chat on Twitter about getting Tipperick in.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? I must say I do like the idea. I can't imagine him being exhausted, do you know what I mean? But
he's one of the fittest blokes there is, man.
Yeah, and he's so mobile, that's kind of his thing.
But not as good in the breakdown as Sam.
Yeah.
At slowing the ball. No,
without sounding like a complete bell end, you know, you don't know until you've played against him. But just with the benefit of having played against those guys once or twice each, more Sam Warburton than Tipperick, actually. Tipperick was harder to play against once the ball moved away from the breakdown because he is a proper nightmare because he's so good. Sam Warburton at the breakdown, I played against Cardiff one night, I think it was a Sunday night at Bath at the Rec, pissing with rain, it was like 12-8 or something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And come off the pitch and there are fans and like my dad was like, Warburton, rabbit, didn't do anything. And I came off the game, we came off in the Chamberlains, we were like, and the fans, it was in the papers, Warburton anonymous, he was come back from injury or something, whatever it was. And he was playing against Francois Lowe dominant. We came off the pitch and we were like, holy shit, that guy's a freak. Yeah. He is so strong. I think Xavier Rush was still playing. I think. But anyway, he was an absolute freak. So he's so, so powerful.
An interesting one for you here, mate, from Gavin Taylor on Twitter. Will George and Theo now be test starters for England?
Farrell would start test for England every time.
At 12?
Either.
No, what? Will he start at 12?
No, I think Farrell will still start at 12.
Yes.
I think you might see longer periods at the end of matches of Farrell at 10 and Theo at 12.
So, if Theo's a test starter for the Lions, why is he not first choice for England?
Eddie Jones has what he thinks works better. And I think had George
What do you
Ford,
think works better?
I think if you're winning, why would you change it? And I think that Owen Farrell's distribution at 12 is really important for England, like you think it would be for the Lions.
Yeah.
So, that's how I see it going. If George Ford hadn't quite done it in Argentina, he might have been struggling. But George Ford was so good in those two Argentina tests. He was so good. You cannot leave him out. And it's worked. They've won, what? They've won 20 out of 21 or whatever it is, tests. You know, it's working. So I think Theo stays on the bench. Equally, I was with Mark Regan the other night for Me Sins, and he made a really good point, if you can believe that. He said that
someone would have told him it.
Yeah, someone else has thought of it. But he said Dylan this summer has been the best thing that's happened to Dylan Hartley in a while because everyone's talking about Jamie George being the better player. Dylan's only there for his leadership and whatever. Jamie George goes away and starts for the Lions, right? And if Dylan Hartley doesn't do what he's done in the long story short, Dylan Hartley goes on the Lions trip.
Yeah.
Dylan Hartley goes on the Lions trip. Jamie George starts for England against Argentina for two tests. He's like, Ronnie was saying, Dylan Hartley never plays for England again. This way, he's like, having missed that and being the guy there in Argentina with Jamie not playing, he's like, Dylan will now reach 100 caps or get very close to it. He's on 85 or 86 or something now. So it's like, he will now reach 100 caps. But if Jamie George has started those two tests against Argentina, Dylan would have been gone.
So it's like a sympathy vote, is that what you're saying?
No, it's presence, it's still being there, okay. And it's, I don't know. So I think Jamie George may well come back and be still on the bench for England, which is amazing.
Really. Matt Slater on Twitter, who's your favourite Lord?
Mike Tindall.
Okay.
Calls himself the Lord.
I've got two. Richard Lord.
Yeah.
Works for Bartholomew Hawkins.
Yep.
IFAs. And Lord Vader.
Lord Vader, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Don. But yeah, Tin's even called, you know, you make your own name up on WhatsApp or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Tin's his Lord. Signs all his texts, Lord.
A question here from Chris Witcherly. How good Steph Evans is, will become. One to watch out for, mate.
Yeah, I really like him.
If there's a player in Wales to watch out for, it's him.
Reminds me a bit of DTH Van der Merwe, actually. Do you mind me saying that?
No. I'd agree.
You happy with that?
Yeah. Couple more questions.
Hey, Ed Jackson's doing well. I know we're doing more questions, but Ed Jackson's doing well. These things on Instagram.
Oh, mate. Yeah, no.
Some class stuff on there.
Such sad news, mate, to hear about Doddy Weir.
Oh,
neurons. And I was only with him, you know, a few weeks ago up in Leeds. Him and John Bentley, and those two are real good mates. And then I did a bit with Bentos on the radio with Bentos with him.
Bentos was saying he found out and he was just crying his eyes out.
I know. Yeah. I know. Such sad news. Oh, but horrific. You mentioned it in a Phil Bennett interview, mate, about the environment that he's in now, and is there a better environment for support, for help than rugby and team sport? You know, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met as well. Time for you, the lot. You know, makes you feel welcome. He's funny. He's larger than life. So I was absolutely gutted. And I've only known him a short time.
People say, oh, he's a character. He's a character. If you get a chance to meet Doddy Weir, meet him, because you won't have met anyone like him. Some people that big are a bit staunch and think they're tough. Some people that big are a bit apologetic because they're that big.
Yeah.
He is, what is he, like 9 feet tall?
Yeah.
Built like a brick shit house. He's a massive guy, and he's actually louder and bigger. He's louder than he is big.
So tall.
He's a brilliant bloke. And I did a thing with Will Carling in Will Carling's corporate thing at Twickenham for England Scotland a couple of years ago, and Doddy Weir, we're doing this Q&A, and Doddy Weir brings out his boots, and he wanted to do he said, I'm going to do a demonstration of
Rucking,
how the game's changed. Will, can you lie down for me, please? And he put his old boots, his size 24s on, and started kicking the shit out of Will Carling. It was great.
Mark Telfer on Twitter wants to know, is Scott Crennel that lively off camera?
Yep. He is. He's an energizer bunny, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He loves it. We've spoken about this, but Wales, England, I was with him in the, I think it's actually the Scott Crennel suite, or whatever it's called at Cardiff at the Principality Millennium.
Yep.
And I sat with Scott and had lunch, and it's like, that is a deeply, deeply lovely man.
So here's something that's really annoying, right? You know, we did this Robert Walters video, The Ultimate Fan. Yep. Stuart Broad comes in and does an incredible speech.
Steve.
Yep. Yeah, Steve. How come he's gone on to bigger and better things? He's on New Zealand TV.
Ask us, mate.
On New Zealand TV.
Gone off him, have you?
Yeah, massively. He's not on Twitter, so I can't abuse him.
He's a social climber.
Literally use us as a stepping stone to bigger things. He'd be on like Big Brother next.
Steve the Knife, I call him now.
Or Splash, something like that.
He's out.
Yeah.
He'd be on the jump
He's singing Delilah on New Zealand primetime TV.
Jesus.
He had to be briefed, though. He did have to be briefed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I created Haskell and rescued his career. We've launched another one, haven't we?
Yeah.
I did a Land Rover video with Haskell, and suddenly he's on the line strip winning Grand Slams. It's like, you're welcome. I don't want any money for it, but a thank you would be nice.
Yeah, just a bit of recognition.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know if you've got any more questions.
No.
Have you or not? I met some lovely fellas when I talked about that Docklands, the Land Rover Day at Docklands with Sarah Ayton. It was really, really cool. One of the guys helping out on the day was a rugby player in a big old unit, and he was talking a lot about some friends of his who were firemen at the Grenfell Tower in London.
Oh.
And obviously, as bad as an experience can really get for those people, pretty close second would be the firemen who were going in there.
Yeah.
And it does make you think. I said it on Twitter, but what does Twitter mean? Frig all, really. But you do feel very grateful that there are people who are willing to literally walk into burning buildings to save us and our kids. You know, it's just incredible.
I saw an incredible video of the firemen being clapped out of that when their shift was over by all the residents there.
Yeah, just tears. Unbelievable. And he had a couple of mates that were involved and were there, and I think they're very deeply affected by it. So
I bet, mate.
Just he said, give them a shout out, because a lot of them are rugby players and they like the pod, believe it or not. And,
yeah.
Geez, I mean,
heroes, mate. Honestly,
mentioning him seems almost a bit. We're not quite doing enough, but our little bit. You know, they were amazing.
I was watching Glastonbury yesterday, and Liam Gallagher.
Yeah.
Dedicated one of his songs, Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah, did you see Stormzy as well?
No.
He did it a bit, and he wore a Grenfell t-shirt and an underground sign, and he spoke about it at the start. He got Jeremy Corbyn up, whichever way you vote and all that. I don't really like politicising stuff like that. I'm not bright enough to do it, and it sort of feels unnecessary. It feels like it doesn't help, but the message is out there, you know. It's frigging horrible. There was someone, we're doing it now, we're politicising it, but they've been given these, whatever luxury apartment means, a lot of these people are rehomed in luxury apartments.
Yeah, saw that.
And there are people saying that, you know, they don't want it to happen because the value of their apartment's going to go down a couple of floors up or whatever it is. And you just think, I mean, we all want to make a quid and all that, but you just think, Jesus Christ.
Bigger things in life than
Jesus that. Christ. I mean, who gives? Just wait, sell it in a couple of years, dickhead. You know, like, Jesus, let them in.
Oh, well.
Anyway, very, very, very horrible, but...
Well, anyway,
the firemen are heroes.
They are. Completely agree, mate. Right, so looking forward to the test on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll try and get another one in. Maybe we could do one next week or the week after.
I'm in Ibiza, mate, large in it for this test, but I'm going to try and watch it on my lappy.
I'm going to Marbella for the third test.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Loving it.
Is that why you're shredding up at the moment and wearing your, like, Under Armour Skins top on a Sunday?
Just stopped eating. Didn't even go to the gym.
Yeah.
Just go to the shops like this. Perception, isn't it?
Perception.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we might do another pod.
We will definitely try.
We'll definitely try. Yeah, that'll do. That's good enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trying's good enough. That's what people respect.
Last thing, just my question. Jack Noel at 15 this weekend. This Tuesday, tomorrow.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah?
I really like it. He's an option. I mean, he's one player. He's not quite as quick as Liam Williams.
Yeah.
But he's a player who could do things like what Liam Williams did.
I think they've chucked him on at 15, right? Just to see how he goes, to see if he's a viable option to put on the bench to cover wing and 15.
And 13, don't forget.
Yeah, I won't forget.
Don't you forget, boy. Yeah. Defensively, he's looked a bit lost at the 13 a couple of times when he's played there.
But we
in attack, he's fantastic. Just if Foxy Davis comes off, you know.
We picked him to be one of the test starters before the tour started because he was on that good form.
And after game one, I was thinking, no way. And then after he played a second time, I was thinking, geez, he could still start. He's come right back. Tough bloke.
Well, long pod, mate, but we've had a lot to talk about, haven't we?
We have. That'll do, wouldn't it, mate?
Yeah.
All right. Ta-da, then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.